Good morning, everybody. Well, it's good to see everybody, and happy Father's Day to all of you daddies. You play a very important role, whether you realize it or not, and I hope you do realize it. We're going to talk a little bit about that this morning, and thanks, man. Matthew chapter 3 is where we're going to be looking at this morning. And if you are a visitor here today, we are glad to have you and hope you'll make your way back. And if we can serve you in any way, let us know how to do that. Amen, church? All right. Matthew chapter 3, and this is entitled The Father We All Need. Parents play an important role. And if there's anything or any, quote, institution that Satan is after, it's not the government, it's not the church, it's not anything more than the family. And to put it in Western speak, he's about got it done. That he's attacked the family, he's destroyed the values. Let me just say this, and I'm sorry if this offends you, you'll get over it or you won't. Every kid needs a mom and a daddy. They need a mama and a daddy, both of them. And they need them to get along. They need parents to put their petty differences aside, put God first, and to raise them in the value system that God instituted when he created the family. Amen? And what we see so much today is a lot of griping and belly aching over a lot of different things, but we're not taking responsibility that families need to learn to be families again. Right? Charles Spurgeon said, train up a child in the way he should go, but be sure you go that way yourself. Train up a child in the way he should go, but be sure you go that way yourself. Don't say, do as I say, but not as I do. But how many, sadly, parents do just that? You go do this, let me teach you what you ought to do, but they don't lead by example. And if there's any two groups of people, and I'll say this, there's two groups of people that'll snuff you out quicker than anything. It's addicts in recovery and it's children. They can snuff you out, right? Whether you're blowing smoke or you're telling them the truth. And the reason so many kids, I think, and I was just talking to a family last night, that there's only two ways to control human behavior, and it's values and violence. Those are the only two ways. And values is a long-haul investment, right? But what's happened, the reason that we're seeing so many violence acts today, and the reason that it sometimes takes violent acts to corral evil, is because we have not planted the seeds of values in the home. That's why we're reaping what we've sown. So don't be startled. Amen. Dwight Moody said, a man ought to live so that everybody knows he is a Christian. And most of all, his family ought to know. I can't tell you how many times I've done funerals. And, you know, the family's in distraught. They're in grief, and and you'd be surprised how many want you to, quote, preach their loved one into heaven when they weren't sure where they stood on earth. I've seen that more times than I'd like to see. Billy Graham said, a good father is one of the most unsung, unpraised, unnoticed, and yet one of the most valuable assets to our society. Amen and amen to that. The reason so many kids get into so many different avenues of pain is because they do not have the direction of a father. Clarence Kellens, a U.S. writer, says, my father didn't tell me how to live. He lived and let me watch him do it. He lived and let me watch him do it. So let's look now at our text. This is the baptism of Jesus. So many things we could talk about here, but we're going to look at what the Father said to the Son. It says in verse 13 of Matthew chapter 3, then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? And Jesus replied, Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. Don't you know he felt a bit of pressure? You want to come to me to be baptized? As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water, and at that moment, heaven was opened. Wouldn't you like to have been a person there on the banks of the Jordan that day just to see that experience? Heaven was open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, above all, we do wish you happy Father's Day for being willing to become all of our fathers through your one and only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We place our faith in him. And Lord, now we know through your promise that we are all children of God. And Lord, we praise you for that. We pray you speak to our hearts. And pray, Lord, your Spirit be our teacher this hour in Christ's name. And all God's people said? The first thing we see in this text, and I go back to this text every year because in all of Scripture, I can't find a better, quote, Father's Day message than this particular passage. And it's one that we need to be reminded of year in and year out. Now, I don't preach a lot of the same series. It's new each week. But I always come back to this text because if there's any message that we as people need to hear, it is about the Father we all need. The first thing we see, this is my Son. Acknowledgement and affirmation. I'm surprised at how many, quote, kids. And I should say, I'm not surprised, but another level, I am surprised. How many kids don't have the acknowledgement of a father? To a child, the acknowledgement of a parent is supreme. How many of us played ball, peewee ball, and you could, out of all the voices out there cheering in the stands, you could recognize your parents' voice when they were hollering? Whether they were, you know, acting Christ-like at the time, that's another story. Right? But you could recognize their voice. You could recognize their cheers because you knew their voice. Sounds very much like what Jesus said in John chapter 10, my sheep know my voice and they come to me. To a child, the acknowledgement of a parent is supreme. That's why so many adopted children look for their biological parent. There's just something innate. It doesn't mean that they don't appreciate that, quote, the parents who adopted them. But there's something about finding out where you come from and knowing where you come from. And parents are just that. Kids will look in the stands of a ball game, as I said, just to see how their parents acknowledge them. And you can see the little fellers, little gals out on the ball field or basketball court, how they poke their chest out with pride when they hear the acknowledgement of a parent, or they wilt like a flower if they feel like they've disappointed them. Kids need to be affirmed that you're proud to be their parent and glad that they are your child. That they are your child. And what we find here is the Father opens up the window of heaven and says, This is my boy. Notice that this is not after the resurrection. This was not after Jesus had done the great triumph of defeating death and the powers. This is at the very beginning of his ministry. Do you think it might have been the very motivation and why Jesus was willing to face the dark powers on the cross, was willing to take our sins upon the cross and to overcome death, is because he knew his Father loved him. And he knew that he was his Father's. Let me ask you, parents, do you acknowledge and affirm your children? Do you just tell them for no reason, you know what, I'm proud of you. I'm glad you're mine. Because if they only hear that after they've done something to win your approval, guess what? It's connected. And so you've, by default, taught them that they have to do something in particular to please you before you're proud that they're yours. No. You ought to be proud that they're yours. That's something else and important. But They ought to know that you're proud of them just simply because they are yours. Do you see the difference? It's very important. Notice how the Father identifies that not only this is the Son, but He's my Son. The possession that God the Father wants. And here's the neat thing. When you study Christian theology, as hopefully we all have, is that what Jesus did for us, and this blows my socks off every time I think about it, is what Jesus did for us. The Bible says that we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ Jesus. So what Jesus said is, I know, Father, you love creation. And you know that I love creation, because the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And He was with God in the beginning, and nothing was created that has been created without Him. There was this innate, intrinsic love of God to the world. For God so loved the world that Jesus was willing. Now, let me ask you this, if you've ever found this in civil disputes after, say, a passing of a parent. But Jesus was willing to share His inheritance with all who would trust in Him. That's why we are heirs of God and co-heirs with who? The one and only true Son of God. He was willing to share His possessions with us. Not because of any good deeds that we have done, but because we placed our faith in Him and received forgiveness. Isn't that amazing? You don't hear that very often when it comes to estate sales and dealing with the family after a parent has passed away. Going, let's share. No, this is mine. This is mine. But Jesus, who it was all His and His alone, was willing to share with us. He was willing to share with us. The Father is possessive about His ownership of the Son. And now, those who are in the Son, He looks to each one of us who has faith in Christ and says, that's my boy. That's my girl. That's why Jesus taught us to pray, not, O holieth Goddeth, but He says, our Father. And what does He say? My God and your God. There's a possession to it. What we see here is the Father acknowledging the Son, affirming Him, not for what He had done yet, but for who He simply was in relationship. And He does the same for us who have faith in Him. Not because of what we've done, but because we're image bearers who've placed our faith in the one and true Son of God. Luke 12, 8 through 9 says, I tell you the truth, Jesus said, everyone who acknowledges me publicly here on earth, the Son of Man will also acknowledge in the presence of God's angels. But anyone who denies me here on earth will also be denied before God's angels. Proverbs 3, 1 through 4 says, my son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart. For they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. And James Torrance says, it seems to me that in a pastoral situation, our first risk is to throw people back on themselves with exhortations and instructions as to what to do and how to do it. Actually, we are to direct people to the gospel of grace, to Jesus Christ, that they might look to Him to lead them, open in their hearts in faith and in prayer, to draw them by the Spirit into his eternal life of communion with the Father. That is exactly the invitation of what it means to be a Christian. Is that, and there's, I can't remember who wrote this, who did this painting, but there's a great painting back in the day, and it's just basically a round table and three people that represent the Trinity, right? The symbolism of the Trinity. And it's an invitation to sit and dine with the family of God. Because now, through Christ, you and I have a place at His table. This is your seat because you're my son. You're my daughter in Jesus. The second thing we see is, this is my son whom I what? I love. The Father told the Son He loves him. Sad to say, working with so many people in a trauma center and working in ministry, how many sons and daughters, maybe at the time of the parents' death or maybe at some low point in their life, they just wished that the child, that the parent had said, you know what, I love you. Now, there's got to be a balance, because we live in a very world where a lot of times people say things, but the actions don't follow. And we came out in generations past where no one ever said much when it come to love. You need to tell your children you love them. Now, that ought to be a given, I would think. But it's not in so many families. When is the last time you told your child that you love them? It is amazing how men can ride broncs, slam steel, farm fields, but are scared to say how they feel about those they are supposed to love the most. That is amazing. God the Father is the prime and perfect example of not being afraid to be affectionate. Because every one of us needs to be told that we're loved. And then do what? Are shown that we're loved. So when's the last time that you say you love them? I've actually called my parents back and we get off the phone busy or whatever and go, I didn't tell them I loved them. And I'm always thinking in the back of my mind, what if that's the last time? What if that's the last time I speak to them? Now, could they die and they know that I love them? Absolutely, because there's been a lot of times where we've told each other we love them. But what if that's the last time? We get so caught up in just the details of everyday life and getting busy doing this and doing that sometimes we forget the momentous occasions that are before us that we're actually living in that we don't realize we're going through until it's no longer accessible to us. Does that make sense? Parents, tell your child you love them, and children, tell your parents you love them. Affection does not make you less of a man. It makes you more of one. Of all the men that I, in my life, that has influenced me outside of Jesus, it's my granddad. And my father. Those two men have had an instrumental impact. And particularly when I think of my grandfather was an old cowboy and a big guy. And I saw him flip a cow down one day while all of us boys were, all my buddies, she'd run us all up the fence, and he told us that he'd come in there crippled along, and he flipped her down and he says, all right, you boys, get off the fence. You look like a bunch of blackbirds on a high line. And, of course, we all hung our head in shame and got down. And in the back of my mind, I think, you know, if he could do that to a cow, what could he do to me? But he was kind and he was gentle. The title of his funeral sermon was A Gentle Giant. And when you find the sheer strength and the masculinity in a man who's also at the same time gentle and kind and willing to say they love you, that's a picture of ultimately who God is. God can create the world. He can destroy. But at the same time, he tells each one of us, and he wants to know that he loves us. That's something that we don't have a lot of pictures of in today's world. Amen? C.S. Lewis says, affection is responsible for 9/10 of whatever solid and durable happiness there is in our lives. Affection is responsible for 9/10 of whatever solid and durable happiness there is in our lives. John 14:21 says, those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me, my Father will love them. And I will love them and reveal myself to each of them. You know, in the relationship of father and child, you're not always going to get along. You're not always going to like each other or like each other's ways. Right? That's part of that growing and that maturing and all that. But there never needs to be a break in the honest affection of knowing that we love each other. And the last and final thing is approval. Approval. This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Now again, you would automatically think that this would be what happened when Jesus comes out of the grave, defeats the power of death. And you would think you might see this moment where the heavens parted and the voice of the Father says, "This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." But notice, this was not when this statement was made. This statement was made at the beginning of Christ's ministry, not at the end. So what does that tell us? That God's approval of the Son was not in what he had done. That is something completely separate. But his approval was that he was his. And when a child has the approval of the parent, knowing that the parent is proud that they are theirs, that gives so much confidence to the child to try things. But let me ask, has anybody in here ever wondered about where you stood with your parent and it didn't fare out so well when it comes to your own personal confidence in life? You wanted to do something, but you talked yourself out of it because you're afraid you might disappoint them because you didn't know where you stood with them before. Anybody relate to that? Yeah. I think a lot of people have. And good parenting 101 is to know that you approve of them. You may not always approve of what they do, but you approve of them because they're yours. I'm glad that God the Father in the Lord Jesus Christ approves of Jeff Jackson. He's not always approved of what Jeff Jackson has done, but because I know he approves of me in the Son, the one and only true Son, it gives me confidence to step out of my comfort zone, such as what I'm presently doing right now, to want to stand up for him and want to try new things. Our focus, let me ask this, and this gets down into our own personal psyche, but how many of us have wanted to do things in life, but we just simply talked ourselves out of them because we were afraid that we were going to be an embarrassment to ourselves, our family, or to others? Anybody relate to that? I think every one of us, if we're honest, can say yes. We've talked ourselves out of it because we have, you heard me say this 1,000 times, we live off the paradigm of human doings. We find approval in what we do, but we've never found approval in who we are. And we have confused that, well, what we do is who we are. No, not at all. Because if what you do is who you are, then you can never be anything but what you've done. Has anyone in here ever done anything that you're absolutely ashamed to speak about? Yes, absolutely. And sometimes we as Christians, we really ramp up the shame on people going, "That's wrong." Well, my conscience tells me that. My shame and my sin have dug a hole for me. We should, as believers, be helping our fellow human out with the love of God that's revealed in the gospel of Jesus Christ to offer forgiveness, which is the lifeline to pull them out of that sinking sand of shame. You see? Reaching out and be in the business of restoration, because praise the Lord, Jesus Christ is in the business of restoration. Amen? And that God the Father approved of his Son, not for all that he was about to teach, all that he was about to heal, all that he was about to endure on the cross, and all that he was going to have to endure to come out on the other side of death and the resurrection. Yes, did that make the Father proud? Absolutely. But Jesus was willing to endure and go through those things because he had the confidence that my Father loves me. Remember that time, I think it was at the tomb of Lazarus, where he prayed and he says, "You know, Father, I know you hear me." But I'm basically saying all this out loud so that they can understand. What sheer confidence in the relationship we have with God. And what so many Christians, I think, struggle with, I've struggled with it a lot in my Christian journey, is where am I at with the Lord? Until I began to discover that I was doing the Christian journey with my eyes on myself. No. We've got to take our eyes completely off of ourselves and put them in the person of Jesus. that we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ Jesus. Too many of us still live at the foot of the cross, and we don't live in the power of the resurrection. And all God's people said. You see, these symbols were of a particular sect of Christianity where you see the cross and you see Jesus hanging on the cross. Well, I don't like that because Jesus is not still on the cross. If anything, we ought to be wearing necklaces that have a picture of an empty grave. Because we live in the power of the resurrection and the approval that God the Father gave the Son, we now have through our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Every child looks to have the approval of their parents. And how many of us can say, because you did not have that, you're having to recover from a lot of paths that you ought not have taken just to try to find the answer that was never there. Does that make sense? Many children look to unhealthy parents for approval, which leads to their unhealthiness. Notice the approval, as I said, of the Father was not after all that Jesus had done, but at the beginning of his ministry. When's the last time you sat down with your child, albeit this high, or adults, and said, you know what? I approve of you because you're mine. I love you because you're mine. I acknowledge you because you're mine. And here's the question I want us to really ponder this morning. Are you looking for the Father's approval in discovering who you are? Most of us seek approval in, what we do. But God wants us to find approval in who we are in Him. In Him. Amen? That's how God wants us to live, with the confidence that we are His and He is mine, like the song says. And that is why we can live in the clasp of His hands, and that no one can pluck us out. Not the power of hell or Satan or the dark powers. We are His because He is ours. And we can live in that confidence that my approval is not in what I do, but rather in who Christ is and what He is to me now. And when we come to Him, confess our sins, place our faith in what He's done for us. Because it's all about His doing. Amen? It's about what He's done. I was listening to a video the other day. Alistair Begg is a Scottish preacher who was a pastor in Parkside Church there in Cleveland, Ohio. He says, if someone were to ask you one day in heaven, you know, how did you get here? He goes, if we start with the first person, I trusted, I did this, I did that, we've already gone astray. It's because of what He did. He opened the door for me to trust Him. He took my sins upon Himself. He created me in His own image with the purpose of redemption and restoration and to be put in charge of His creation. That's why the Christian life is always about gratitude and joy, because it's what He has done for us. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son. But why do so many Christians struggle with happiness? And why do so many Christians struggle with self-esteem and all this? Because they're still looking to what have I done? What have I not done? Rather than praising Him for what He has done. Amen? James Dodson says, my legacy doesn't matter. It isn't important that I be remembered. It's important that when I stand before the Lord, He says, well done, good and faithful servant. I want to finish strong. How do we ever receive the statement from the Lord, well done, thy good and faithful servant? It's not because of what we've done. It's because we have gloried. We have placed our faith. We have put our confidence in what He has done. Does that make sense? We naturally project onto God. He'll tell me good and well done, good and faithful servant, based on what I've done. But there's nothing that I can do that can receive that response. Only Christ's works can receive that response. How do I then receive it? By placing my faith and my trust and my hope in Him and Him alone. And when I've done that, then guess what? The works of Christ, as I've said before, is slipped into my file so that when the great judge of the world opens my file, he doesn't see my filthy rags resume. He sees the works of Jesus there on my behalf. Do you get where I'm going with this? That we get the affirmation, the affection, and the approval of God the Father when we live by our faith in God the Son. So no longer do I have to look at, well, you remember that time when you did this and that time you did that? No, those are gone. Those are forgiven. That's a part of my resume. Quit looking to your resume. I need to quit looking at my resume and look to the resume of Christ. That's why we're heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ Jesus. The master was full of praise. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in handling the small amount, so now I'll give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. That speaks of what God wants all humans to experience through faith in His Son at the beginning of new creation. What is the small task now, even though it's momentous? It's to place our faith in the one and only Son of God, that we may benefit from His works because of what He has done, and live in the approval of God the Father. That's why Jesus gave us the picture that He was the ark to run into. That we run into Christ and we receive the benefits of Christ. Not because of what we've done, but because of what He's done. For by grace are you saved through faith, and this not of yourselves. It is what? God's gift. Not by works, so that no one can boast. I conclude with this. The Lord is like a father to His children, tender and compassionate to those who fear Him. The Lord is like a father to His children, tender and compassionate to those who fear Him. So what's the greatest ministry that we could partake of and invest in? It's the reestablishing of the institution of the home, where there is a father and there is a mother, and children can grow and benefit from that fertile spiritual ground that they provide. That's the way we invest in the values, so that 20, 30, 40 years from now, this country can reap the benefits of the seeds we have sown today. Make sense? Happy Father's Day. And you dads, you have an enormous role, enormous responsibility on your shoulders. Go and cherish it. Celebrate it. Thank the Lord for it. And follow His example. Amen? All right, let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank You for Your love. And thank You for being willing, long before we knew it, to share Your inheritance with us. Lord, that we may hear the same words that You've heard, because we are in You. And Lord, may the relationship that You have with Your Father be the relationship that fathers have with their children and children have with their fathers. Lord, we're sinful. We're going to disappoint, but I'm so glad that our value is not based in what we've done, but based in who we are in You. And I pray, God, that this message, Lord, will be a message of confidence in our faith, that we need to take our eyes off the first person, us and I, but put them on You. Thank You, Lord, for sharing all the riches of heaven with us. And thank You, God, for being willing to send Your one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And all God's people said, amen. Happy Father's Day.